the heartland in north central Indiana. It's the Insurgent Radio Network. Tom Hester, Terrible Tommy, broadcasting live from the bunker in Warsaw, Indiana. Right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to drink, sometimes eat. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. You can direct your letters and mail to Tom Hester, the Insurgent, or just old plain box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Here in north central Indiana, where the sun is shining brightly, but it's cool this morning. Dropped down into the 60s. How about that? But I'm not going to gripe about it. Terrible Tommy here. We got another load of stuff for you, man. Backed the tractor up from the barn, and we got a load for you. Yeah. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana. And believe me, thank you for getting your donations in timely. That helps out. The closer you get to, like, no later than the 15th of the month, keeps our accounting straight here. If you owe for 1 month and then pay at the very end of the month, sometimes we get confused. So if you got to do something like that, let me know ahead of time, okay? All right. Wow, I just got another 10 or 12 shows in here from Sling Blade. On there's so many damn processes, anyhow, it's on digital. Yeah, I got it on digital, so, man, with those 10 or 12 shows, and then I got a whole box full over here I don't think were ever played. Now, they may have been, and because I sent them back to Wolf Wall Street, and he recopied them. And I believe put them up on the website. So anyhow, it won't hurt to hear some of these shows twice now. Anyhow, because there's so much good stuff on there, right? I don't know what he's up to now. He wanted the Masonic Handbook, and he wanted Cracks in the Constitution. So I'm sending that over to him and see what he's going to do with that stuff. Well, Obama has pulled off the coolest deal of yet. Now, you know how the Republicans were stalling on immigration. They didn't want Obama in any way to look good, any no way, no how. Now, you know they're not going to solve the immigration problem. They're going to give you nonsense and tickle your ears, just like they always do. But what's happened here, you've heard of the Gulf of Tonkin resolution? Remember what a fake that was? Remember the Reichstag fire? Remember 9/11? Yeah. Remember the phony deal about Obama? Saddam Hussein having all this tremendously horrible weapons of mass destruction. A lot more than Tommy's got out here in his lot. You've been snookered, or the Republicans have been snookered, and they know it. You think this invasion of the little people is an accident? I spotted this immediately. There's no way you can move that amount of people across the several countries and through the whole state of Mexico without Washington knowing about it? No way at all. They had to know about it. In fact, I think they laid the groundwork for it, because this is a perfect pushback for Obama. Pushed it right into the Republicans' hands, saying, I'm trying to stop it, I'm trying to stop it, even though I probably was behind starting it, but I'm trying to stop it. I'm trying to stop it. And the Republicans don't want to do anything, so he's making the Republicans look real bad, and they don't know what the hell to do. They don't want to shit or get off the pot. So when your friends they say, what's happening with all these, I think they got 90,000 of these little brown people into California already. Now remember this, you figure, let's just say, as a guess, half of them are girls. Could be more than half girls. Now these are all at least 5 or 10 year olds, probably 10 year olds. Well, that means in about 5 years, maybe less, they're going to be pounding out babies. So if you got 40,000 coming mothers that will pound out at least 4 or 5 kids, figure it out. Let's see, 5 times 4, that's 200. That's 200,000 babies coming on here. Plus all the millions we've already got here. Yeah, sí, señor. But anyhow, this is Obama's Gulf of Tonkin ripoff. The Republicans don't know whether to shit or go blind. It's funnier than hell. It's hilarious. He's also using this to divide the Tea Party people from the main Republican Party. You get that? Well, that's good for us. The more they can split those two up, the better, because there's a lot of people in the Tea Party that could be radicalized and maybe educated a little bit and point them in the right direction. They may do the right thing. But at least it drives a wedge between the Tea Party and the mainline. There always has been a wedge between somewhat limp-wristed division between the Tea Party and the mainline Republican Party. But this is going to divide it more. And as the government, no matter who's running it, Democrat or Republican, they're all phony on the immigration thing anyhow. So it's got to drive Tea Party people to be more radical. So we'll see what happens with that as time goes on. So things are looking great, boys and girls. If I had my brass band in here, we'd be playing it. And now, like I said yesterday, I'm thrilled to death that the Muslims over there have declared for an Islamic State. That is great. I think it's great. And I think they're going to come together and take old Iraq. And if they have to have a split up Iraq to have peace, fine. I mean, the Sunnis and the Shiites, if they can't get together and work together at all, except with a leader like Saddam Hussein, well, they might as well split the country up and go back and live in peace. So that's a possibility there. However, you would think that much better than they did before, instead of suppressing the Ba'ath leadership of the military and the Ba'ath party, that they would bring them back to the foreground real quick and reinstigate all those Ba'ath party soldiers. Give them back pay, give them their uniforms, give them their guns, and let them go. But that's smart. And you know, the military-industrial complex is never going to do anything real smart unless it benefits the corporation. So they always have to, on any issue, they have to see, you know, like they say, like the spokesman for the president always says, we have to protect American interest. Well, that's not your interest, jerk off. That's not your interest. That's the corporation's interest. Whenever they say American interests abroad, we got to protect. It's the corporations abroad we got to protect. Remember that. Write that down. Tattoo it on your arm. Boy, when these things like these little brown kids invading the country come up, you can always count on the progressives to cry their eyes out. Cry their eyes out. It's embarrassing because we know, you know, I know that under certain conditions you have to take hard decisions, no matter how sweet you want to be. You just can't have it. My neighbor don't have any cows next door to me, but if he did, and those cows kept breaking through my fence and eating my sweet corn and cabbage, I'd warn them a couple of times, and then I'd hit them in the head with a 2x4. And if they kept insisting, I'd shoot them. So that's something that these progressives don't seem to understand. There's a little, the libertarians and the progressives are somewhat alike in many ways. Yeah, they don't, they depend on the word if a lot. You know, if this happened, everything would be wonderful. And I see they're arguing on the internet now with the white nationalists, conservative types, I guess you'd call them, about libertarianism, how wonderful libertarianism. But I put an email on there, I commented this morning, I said, well, the problem with libertarianism, it doesn't recognize human nature. It believes that human nature it changes and can be reformed. No, it can't. Only for a short spell, but not very long. And libertarianism doesn't understand human nature. When I debated libertarians 35 years ago in San Diego, they were promoting open borders. If we do this and we do that, everything would just be wonderful. Well, that isn't the way the human race is put together. That isn't representative of our animal background. Sorry, Christians. Our animalistic background. Anyhow, like I say, all last night, liberal progressive radio was crying her eyes out about these poor little children coming up here. You remember the children's march into Jerusalem, where they gathered the children's crusade, when the crazy ass Christ insanity people gathered together thousands of white children from Europe, marched them all the way down Jerusalem, where they got, you know, kidnapped, killed, raped, sodomized, everything else down there. Yeah. Well, these are the same kind of people. And in fact, they got this idea, this insanity, of course, that we have a horrible environmental problem. And we do. We've got horrible environmental problems, including nuclear waste and everything else. But they want to bring more people into the country. Unending, just unending. Bring them in. No matter biologically what they are, no matter what their race, no matter what their education, no matter what. But at the same time, you hear liberals and progressives on one side saying, "Well, the world's got too high a population. We're going to be 9 billion people pretty soon." Well, don't you think by bringing millions into North America, you're going to make it worse? Because one of the last areas in the world where people can feed themselves and feed a lot of other people, you want to destroy it? That's really going to fix things up good. Anyhow, the insanity of the progressive liberals and some of the things they say is very correct. But a lot of what they say is insane. And then the right wing is so affected by the evangelicals and Christ's insanity that they can't get anything straight. The people who lead them, the white leaders, try to walk between the raindrops. Even they know it's Christ's insanity is insanity. It was too crazy even for the Jews to continue with. Even the Jews condemned these crazy Jews that went off and started Christianity. Those boys just don't get it, man. Yeah, I know. We're nuts, too. But, boy, those guys, those Jews that went off and started Christianity, they're really head keys. Anyhow, it's all insanity. George is right, my patron saint. George is right.
I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP. I don't drink, I don't cuss. I want to ride on the front of the bus. I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP. I want to eat where the white folks eat, cause I'm white on the bottom of my feet. I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP. We don't screw like the white folks do. We just screw to I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP. I want to be white more and more so I can bitch at the nigger next door. I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP.
This tune came along. We done wore out one nigger song.
I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP.
I want to be white, don't you understand? So I can play in the trashy white band.
I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP. I'm an Alabama nigger and I want to be free. Hell with NAACP.
The years, it's an attitude. Old man is a point of view. It's a way of looking at things. Some guys are old men when they're in their 20s. You've met guys like that. They're just wired like old men. Not me. Not an old man and not an old fart. Because an old fart is kind of... What I am is an old fuck. It's kind of like a fat fuck. You know what I mean? Fat fuck, tall fuck, skinny fuck, short fuck. Old fuck. Who's the old fuck? That's Georgie. Georgie's the old fuck. In this respect, fuck is actually a synonym for the word fellow. But now that I'm an old fuck, I'm beginning to notice some advantages to putting on a few extra years. The first one is, you never have to carry anything heavy ever again. Everybody wants to help an old fuck. If you got a big suitcase or something like that, you know, you just kind of go like this a little bit. You say, yeah, could you help me with this? Say, yeah, hey, how far are you going? Indianapolis. He wants to help. Fuck him. Put him to work. Take advantage of people. Another nice thing about getting old is you can leave any social event early just by saying you're tired. Works great with family members. Just turn to the person next to you and say, geez, I'm getting tired, you know. Oh, you're tired? Come on, Grandpa's tired. Grandpa's going to bed. Someone else says, but it's 7:30 in the morning. There's always one asshole in the family. But the best thing about getting old is you're not responsible for remembering things anymore. Even important things. But it was your daughter's funeral. I forgot. You can even make believe you have Alzheimer's disease. That's a lot of fun. You look around the dining room table and you say, who are you people and where's my horse? Then you stare at your eldest son and say, Agnes, I haven't seen you since First Communion. Fucks them up. Fucks them up. They don't know how to handle it. Takes them a week to get over that shit. And they start listening to you a lot more carefully from then on. So don't be afraid to get old. It's a great time of life. You get to take advantage of people, and you're not responsible for anything. You can even shit in your pants.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah.
Hey, they expect it. I haven't tried that yet, but I don't rule it out. I'm keeping my options open. Everything is on the table. Perhaps that's not the figure of speech I wanted.
Well, I just had to do that on Thursday, the day before. Yeah, I like that. I got to get that up there. You know, George Carlin, the Pope of the Church of What's Happening Now. Now let's see if we can get on to something a little bit more serious here, okay? Well, I see our Lone Wolf Associate sent me a little bit more on this polygraph thing. It's called antipolygraph.org. Learn the truth about lie detectors. Nonprofit public interest website dedicated to exposing and ending polygraph waste, fraud, and abuse. Okay. Well, like I say, it shouldn't make any difference to any lone wolf, because no lone wolf should ever submit to a lie detector test. Just like you shouldn't submit to interrogation. If they want to sit you down and ask you a bunch of questions, and you just say, I have nothing to say, fine. I have nothing to say. 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 Pretty soon they're going to want to go out and get a cup of coffee or a bottle of bourbon. So it doesn't really apply to a smart, intelligent, well-educated by the insurgent lone wolf. It's not going to even come up, because you even if the lie detector was effective and it said you're innocent, it's not admissible in court. So why even do it? You know, because they're going to do everything they can to make you look like a monster anyhow. So anything you can eliminate from their weaponry of making you look like a monster is good. However, I will say this, as I said yesterday. I have a polygraph-type instrument. I have used it many times. And I must say that whether it's by chance or what, it was pretty effective in the cases that I worked on. I think a lot of it's because of the fear of the person you're testing. That, of course, you know, when we was mostly done with the Ku Klux Klan, and of course, Ku Klux Klan has a reputation of taking care of business, even though they hardly ever do. But the point is that you bring a guy into a strange setting in the middle of nowhere and set him up and say you've got to take a lie detector test, it's got to get the juices flowing pretty good. And in several cases, there was definitely deception shown, and it was later proven that the person was an informant or just using deception. So that's all I can say. I think in some cases it works. But I wouldn't want to... It was never meant to put up someone's life in jeopardy. It was only to be used as an adjunct to a regular investigation by cops. It was not meant for cops to use it simply as the one tool in deciding a crime. And the people who built the first lie detectors were the first to say that. This is only a side weapon. So anyhow, from now on, instead of doing the lie detector, you just flip a coin, I guess. 50%, that's about it. Anyhow, like the lawyer once told me, you know, Tom, why they don't use lie detector results in court? And I said, why? He said, because everybody's lying in court. No, but these liars, none of these liars, lying judge, lying attorneys, lying cops, everybody's lying. They don't want that stuff in there. You know, I love it when Jews tell the truth. Yeah, they tell the truth a lot. People just don't read what they say. Lovely, just lovely. A Zionist leader in Israel has apologized after calling for 300 Philistine foreskins in revenge for the murder of three Israeli teenagers, according to the foreword. Rabbi Noam Perel is also facing pressure to resign. Remember the Lev Tahor sect of ultra-Orthodox Jews that got into trouble with Canadian officials over the abuse of children? They've apparently decamped to all places, Guatemala. And with that, go crack open a cold one, enjoy the holiday. Well, if you're looking at it strictly from a tactical situation, without any remorse or anything on either side, I'd say that the Palestinians have struck a nerve. The Palestinians, whoever bumped the kids off, has gone back to the original tactics of Yasser Arafat when he knocked off the Olympic athletes in Munich. And whether you like it or not, it's working. These tactics work. And so then the Israelis will come back and bomb them and strafe them and kill them and like that. And then, of course, that makes the Palestinians throw more rocks and makes other Islamic people outside the area more inclined to enter the fray. So sometimes it takes... I forget there's a saying about that, but I can't remember it. I noticed at the end here he says, "Happy birthday, America." Well, America has no birthday. America is simply a continent. The United States, well, they've never been truly united except by interstate commerce. So that's not too correct either. So... And the U.S. has never broken loose from the Bank of England and the International Court of Settlements and all that kind of stuff in Switzerland, and so it's been had the illusion of freedom and liberty and all that kind of nonsense, but only within a certain sphere of influence. Well, 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 a Roman Catholic Archbishop in Minnesota, who's been one of the hierarchy's most vocal opponents of homosexual rights, is the target of an investigation into allegations that he had a series of sexual relationships with priests, seminarians, and other men. The investigation of Twin Cities Archbishop John Neinstedt is being conducted by a prominent Minneapolis law firm hired by the Archdiocese, after church officials received an allegation against Neinstedt. The Archdiocese confirmed the investigation, which was first reported by Commonweal, a Catholic magazine based in New York. Let's see here. Or is that New York? Neinstedt, 67, said in a separate statement that the allegations are absolutely and entirely false. And he said he himself authorized the internal investigation, which he called independent and thorough. Quote, "The allegations do not involve minors nor lay members of the faithful, and they do not implicate any kind of illegal or criminal behavior." I think he's mixing words up. The allegations involve events alleging to have been occurred at least a decade ago. It's a decade ago. Before I began serving in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and of Minneapolis. So in other words, he is a practicing homosexual on sabbatical. Okay. Well, I see for now the cross on Mount Soledad can stay. That's near San Diego. I've been there many times. Both sides in an ongoing legal controversy over a cross on public land in San Diego will have to wait some more time. Well, my position is very simple on the cross. The cross is an Aryan symbol. The cross is an ancient Aryan symbol. It's the sun dying on the now that cross was found in ancient Europe long before there was any myth about Jesus. And it was elongated because the cross was stuck in the ground. It's, wherever they'd go, they'd stick it in the ground. But the original Aryan version is this Celtic cross. The Celtic cross. So it's our cross. And the Christians should be paying us to use it. Well, here's some information on religion that you probably should know about. You've probably heard about them arguing about it in the Supreme Court. Christians are always out there on Christian radio screaming that their religion's under attack and it's almost ready to be destroyed and all that, where in fact Christianity, evangelical, and all the rest have tremendous sums of money. They pay no taxes on their property. They own factories and everything else. And the whole idea that there's an onslaught to destroy their Christian cult insanity is ridiculous. But anyhow, some things have to be explained. Now let me see here. The splainer, as you've got some splaining to do, is an occasional online feature in which Kimberly Winston and other RNS staff give you everything you need to know about current events to hold your own at a cocktail party. Today, the Supreme Court ruled that was yesterday, closely held corporations cannot be compelled to provide contraceptive coverage that violates the religious beliefs of their owners. Writing for the majority, Justice Samuel Alito said the Religious Freedom Restoration Act applies to regulations that govern such companies. So what is RFRA, of which the Supreme speak? Stay with us, and there's ice cream, a puppy, and even a hallucinogenic drugs in it for you. RFRA stands for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I didn't know it went anyplace. It was passed almost unanimously in 1993 and was signed into law by President Clinton. A real Christian. It applies only to the federal government, not the states, though some states have their own versions. RFRA is intended to protect religion from the federal government. Hell, I thought the government was run both by the corporations and the religious nuts. As for why the acronym sounds like a small yappy dog, think of it this way. That small dog is saying, quote, "Hey you, government, don't mess with religious freedom or I'll bite you." RFRA was a response to an unpopular 1990 Supreme Court decision called Employment Division v. Smith. In that case, the Supreme Court ruled against two mongoloids who had been denied state unemployment benefits after they checked positive for mescaline, the active hallucinogenic compound found in peyote cactus. Members of the Mongoloid Church used peyote in their religious ceremonies. Well, I don't care if they use heroin. The Supreme ruling against the Native American Mongoloids, who of course weren't Native, religious practice really ticked off First Amendment watchdogs of all kinds, liberals, conservatives, evangelicals, Jewish, and secular. They lobbied Congress, and the result was RFRA. Well, there's a test for RFRA, but one with a fun name, the Sherbert test, kind of like ice cream. The Sherbert test says that the government wants to burden or hinder someone's religious practice. Two criteria must be met. First, the burden must be necessary for the furtherance of a compelling government interest. Second, the burden must be the least restrictive way to further the government interest. Yeah, like they did the COTC. We don't recognize you because you stand up for white people. Basically, this is what RFRA means. If the government wants to curb your religious practice, it has to prove that such a compelling reason that is not going, that not doing so would keep it from governing properly. Oh, your little church, COTC, is going to bring the government to its knees? And if the government is going to curb someone's religious practice, it must do so in the least intrusive way possible. Well, the best way is to quit financing it. Federal government, quit financing religion. Oh, okay. A Hobby Lobby, the Costanoga Wood Specialties Corporation, asked for an exemption from the Affordable Cares Act's requirement that they provide the full range of contraception coverage to their employees.
Here, take the pill, dearie. Hey, here, take this rubber, buddy.
The owner of the Hobby Lobby are evangelical Christians, mostly hypocrites, and the owners of Conestoga are Mennonites. Oh, there's the Mennonites again. They argued their religious objections to emergency contraception should be protected under RFRA. That's the question at the heart of this case. Can a corporation be said to have religious practices? Well, Supreme Court says corporations are like a human being, and they have all the rights of a human being in this country, so why shouldn't they? In this ruling, the judges said, yes, corporations which are composed of people can be said to have religious practices, and sometimes those practices are worth protecting by RFRA. Most of the big practices by the big corporations simply to make money any way they can make it. So it's a big deal. The win by Hobby Lobby in Conestoga means the courts might see a lot more challenges from for-profit corporations to laws they feel conflict with their owners' religious beliefs. I can see a real worm in this apple. But the court has also carefully said that its ruling in this case applies only to contraception coverage. So religious employers should not see this as an invitation to challenge the Affordable Care Act on vaccines and blood transfusions, both of which some religious people object to. Well, there you go. That's the whole nine yards. You got it. Well, my point of view is it should be nobody's business what you do with that end of your life. That's all I can say. It's your business. Well, to show you how out of control a Klan has become, of course, this is always an exaggeration, but someone who calls themselves a Klansman has told Fox Radio his best friends are black. He just believes in racial purity, and six other conversations about this are on, I forget what outfit had this on, but anyhow, it's another ridiculous situation where they got some lunatic guy who says he's in a Klan to stand up and say his best friends are black. Well, this white supremacist who claims a religious belief in white supremacy, which means he's a racist, or says he's a racist, explained his views this week to Fox News radio host Alan Combs. He's a real progressive, that guy. William Walters was removed last week from his post at the Tacony, Pennsylvania Town Watch, after city officials discovered he was passing out Ku Klux Klan recruitment literature on the job. Although they were previously aware he served as Grand Dragon of the Pennsylvania-based group. He described the East Coast Knights of the True Invisible Empire. They keep adding on to these Klan. Every time a new Klan comes, they add more on. This is the East Coast Knights of the True Invisible Empire as a white Christian organization. And Combs reminds him that Jesus wasn't white. Well, let me remind Combs that Jesus never was. I don't know that, Walters says after a long pause. You see, you stop him on that Jesus thing every time. Combs says Jesus would have been an olive-skinned person of Mediterranean descent, but Walters points out that he's not black either. Walters admits that Jesus associated with society's outcasts and taught that his followers should love everyone. He did preach that, yes, Walters conceded. He preached love. He preached some hate, too, if you'll read the New Testament closely. Of course, he didn't preach at all because he didn't exist. Jeez, God. Combs asked why his group restricts membership to white Christians only, and Walters brings up the NAACP, which hosts remind him of white people may join. We're just showing interest in our race, Walter insists. Why? Because we want to promote the heritage of our white race. We want to keep it that way. He admits that the KKK is a white supremacist group, although he claims that it also promotes Christian tenets. You mean pseudo-Jew tenets. The reason why we say white Christian is because we're prompting to keep our race pure. Walters says, the Christian purity would be we're against homosexuality and we're against white-black relationships. Even so, Walters insists he has quite a few friends that are black people. Quote, my best friends are black, but they don't belong to our organization, unquote, he says. Quote, we don't believe they should have any relationship. We don't believe in mixed races. It's common sense. If you look at the animal species, let's just say, you don't see a rabbit going around with a squirrel. Combs asks if he's aware that white people and black people are the same species, and Walters agrees they are. Mm-hmm. Quote, in fact, we have a president who's half black and half white, as some are fond of saying, because two people who are of the same species, two animals of the same species, can mate, right? Combs says, so it's not like a squirrel and a human. Walters concedes this is true, but says the KKK promotes racial purity so children won't get mixed up about their heritage. You know, when you try to mix Christianity and racism, it don't work. Obama would ask his parents, well, am I black or white, Walter says, and he should be proud of his heritage. If he's white, he should be proud of it, unquote. He tells Combs that he would disown one of his children if they wanted to marry a black person, although he would not immediately do so if they wanted to marry a Jewish person. Huh, that's interesting. I don't believe that's a race. I believe being Jewish is more of a religion, unquote. Walter says, adding that he would accept a Jewish person into his family if they converted to Christianity. Walter insists he's treated his black neighbors fairly during his stint on the neighborhood watch. Quote, we do believe they should be treated equally. We just don't believe that there should be race mixing, he says. Quote, there should be a difference between black and white and white. A child gets raised up, he gets teased in school, he doesn't know what to be proud of, black or white. Everyone should be proud of their heritage. Quote, We're trying to promote the white race and the heritage, just like the blacks, he adds. Well, I don't know. Oh, I think there's some video on this. Maybe not. Let me see here if there is. Hold on there.
My name is Melanie Armstrong. Every day, hundreds of low-income families are housed because of my work, but I don't run a shelter. They are clothed through what I've...
I'm Alan Combs. I want to welcome William Walters. He's Grand Dragon of the East Coast Knights of the True Invisible Empire, which is the KKK. Conservative Republican. He has been asked to leave a neighborhood watch group, which has brought some attention. William, thanks for coming on the program. Could you explain what Grand Dragon means? Because we've interviewed a number of people in the Klan, and there's more than one Grand Dragon, apparently, right?
No, there's one in each state that represents the state, and he's in the what you consider the second command of the state.
So you would be second in command in the
Pennsylvania,
and who'd be first in command?
He would be the Imperial Wizard.
I see. So you report to the Imperial Wizard?
The Imperial Wizard is above me, and then on below him.
I see. So tell me what happened here with this neighborhood watch deal.
Okay, I've been with the town watch for about seven years, and what happened was one of the members in the town watch, they went to join, and I gave him some literature that he seemed to be interested in, and what happened was he gave the literature to the president of town watch, and he just kicked me out. He said that it wasn't going against what they believe in, which we do believe in law and order. And we're not a hate group. And
they're saying that part of their bylaws are that members must promote harmony. You're in the Ku Klux Klan. You wouldn't say that your group promotes harmony, would you?
Yes. Yes, amongst these other races, yes.
Amongst one race?
No, amongst all.
How do you promote harmony, for example, with blacks and Jews?
No, we feel as though that they should be harmony amongst themselves. We're not a hate group. We're definitely not a hate group.
Well, can anybody get into your group?
Yes, a few people have, yes.
Can anybody get into your group?
Yes, if they're a Christian.
Wait a minute. But then anybody can't get in. Can a black get into your group?
No.
Why not?
Because it's a white Christian organization.
Since we're in fact, you know, I know you talk about the Bible and you're a Bible lover, you went to a Bible college,
right?
And you're a believer in Jesus. Jesus wasn't white.
I don't know that.
Jesus was Mediterranean. Jesus was olive skinned. He's not.
Well, he's not black either. So
no, but he wasn't white. You're a white group, and you're claiming you're a white Christian group. You won't let blacks in. You won't let darker skinned people in.
Right.
Can a Hispanic get in your group?
No. It's really a white Christian organization.
Well, but what makes it Christian if Jesus himself was not white and...
Well, he wasn't black.
Jesus was not exclusionary. Jesus talked and loved and walked among everyone. That's not what Jesus preached, right?
Yes, he did preach that, yes.
What did he preach?
He preached love.
Did he preach only among white people?
No. No.
So what makes it Christian that you restrict yourself to whites?
Well, basically, we're into that. The NAACP has their own black organization.
But they're not claiming to be anything other than an organization. By the way, whites can join the NAACP, but they're claiming to be an organization to promote black interest.
Right. But
they're not claiming to be a Christian organization. You're claiming to be a Christian organization when the Christianity isn't about just being white.
Well, the reason why is because we believe in Christian tenets, and you have to be a Christian.
But you don't have to be a white to be a Christian. So why, if I'm a Christian, if you're calling yourself a Christian organization, if I'm a Christian, don't happen to be white, why can't I join you?
Because we're promoting mostly for the white Christian.
Well, what makes that Christian, though, that if you're restricting it to whites? Since when is Christian restricted to whites?
We're not, but we're just the white. The
well,
white
why do you want to be exclusively white? Why?
Because we're just showing interest in our.
Why? Why?
Our,
why? Why?
Our
why only white?
Because we're just interested in our race.
Yeah, but you're not telling me why.
Why? Because we want to promote the heritage of our white race, and we want to keep
it that way. You're not about being Christian. You're about being white. You're a white supremacist or white separatist group. You're calling yourself a Christian group, but the real focus of your group is the white race.
Right, and we also believe in the tenets of the Christian faith, which we...
What tenet of the Christian faith says it's only about white people?
It doesn't. It just says...
You're promoting something that really is not a tenet of the Christian faith.
No, what we're basically doing is that... The reason why we would say white Christian because we're promoting to keep our race pure.
But that's not about Christianity. Christianity isn't about racial purity. Where in the Bible does it talk about racial purity?
Well, the Christian purity would be we're against homosexuality. We're against
No. You're talking about racial. That's a whole. You're talking about racial purity. You're talking about. There are many black Christians.
Right.
Why can't they join your group?
Because they're black.
So what? That's discrimination.
And you can call it that if you want to call it that way. Yeah.
Do you dislike black people?
I have quite a few friends that are black people, yes.
No, do you dislike people who are black?
No. No. My best friends are black.
Really?
Yes.
You have some of your best friends are black?
Yes, but they don't belong to our organization.
What if they wanted to join? Why wouldn't you let your best friend in?
Because it promotes white
What does purity mean?
Purity is this.
Are you afraid that whites and blacks are going to get too close?
We don't believe that they should have any relationship. We don't believe that
a relationship
be a mixed race. We don't believe in mixed race.
When did Jesus talk about that? When did Jesus talk about blacks and whites not having relationships?
It's common sense. I mean,
well, then when did Jesus preach that?
Well, it's.
I mean, you're telling me you're a Christian organization, but these are not the things Jesus preached.
No, he didn't say the black.
Why would you call? I mean, if you're based on being Christian. It sounds to me what you're really based on is being white, not on being Christian.
Well, if you look at the animal species, let's just say. I mean, you don't see a rabbit going with a squirrel.
Do you know that whites and blacks, though? Wait a minute. Are you comparing whites and blacks to humans versus squirrels?
No. But it's
do you know that itself. You know that whites and blacks are of the same species?
They are, yes.
So that it is possible for blacks and whites... In fact, we have a president who's half black and half white,
right,
as some people are fond of saying, because two people who are of the same species, two animals of the same species, can mate, right? So it's not like a squirrel and a human.
No, but we just believe in keeping the race pure.
Why? Why do you believe that?
Because it's the kid gets mixed up. He doesn't know what to believe in.
Why would he mean? Is Obama mixed up because he has a white mother and a black father?
He would ask his parents, well, what am I, black or white? And he should be proud of his heritage. If he's white,
what's his heritage? Well, he's half black and half white. Could he get into your group?
No.
Could half of them get in?
No.
He couldn't, like, become half? Could he come half the time?
It has to be a pure race. And we feel that's the way God wanted to be.
Isn't that what Hitler talked about, a master race? Isn't that kind of Hitlerian?
No.
Hitler talked about a master. He wanted a master race too, right?
No.
But the point is, you're not promoting harmony, getting back to what I was talking about. So I understand, you understand why a town watch group would not want you, when they have in their bylaws, that they are to promote harmony. You're promoting only white people. You've got a group of people in your town who are not all white.
Right.
Their job is to serve everybody. You can't serve everybody if you're just a white group.
No,
so what good is it having you on a town watch group when you're just about white people?
But see, I feel as though that shouldn't have anything to do with my beliefs, and they threw me out because of what I believe in. I've been with Town Watch for 5 years.
Yeah, you believe in discriminating against the blacks, as you don't want them in your group.
No, I protect my whole neighborhood, and they're more than half black in my neighborhood. And
right.
Because the Town Watch president found out that I belong to that group, that he kicked me out.
Can you understand that the Ku Klux Klan is probably not a group one would think could equally treat both blacks and whites?
You don't believe
in equality for blacks and whites.
No, but we do treat them equally.
But your whole group is based on not believing in equality between blacks and whites, right?
No, we just don't believe that there should be race mixing.
Do you
That's
have any
the
kids?
Only thing. Yes.
Well, what if one of your kids decided to marry a black person?
I would disown him.
Really?
Yes.
That's not harmony.
No, but I would try to talk to them and try to, you know, tell them that they're doing wrong.
Why is it wrong to love who you love?
Well, because there should be a difference between black and white.
And what's the difference?
The race.
And what does that mean? So the color of the skin is different. So what else does it mean?
It's like an animal. You mix a dog with a different breed.
No. But you, wait a second. You're doing this again. You're talking about whites being different breed than blacks. You're comparing literally apples and oranges. I mean, the fact is that humans are all human. We're not different breeds. We're not a different species. I'm Jewish, for example. I'm not a different species than you.
Right. But what I'm saying is that I'm comparing the way nature goes.
Well, nature allows, there's nothing in nature that stops people of different races from copulating, for example, and reproducing. That's how we got Barack Obama, because people of different races copulated and reproduced. So you can't compare it to a squirrel and a human or a dog and a cat. They're not different species.
Right. But we're trying to promote a pure race. That's all.
But I'm not understanding why. I don't get it. I don't understand why.
Because the child gets raised up and he gets teased at school, doesn't know what to be proud of, black or white, and he should be proud of black.
What difference does it make, though?
It does, because everybody should be proud of their heritage, just like yourself. I mean, everybody should be proud of their heritage.
What if one of your kids wanted to marry a Jewish person? Would you disown that for them? Would you disown a kid who married if your one son or daughter married a Jewish person?
I don't believe that's a race. I think being Jewish is more of a religion.
Right.
So
would that be okay with you?
Yes, if the person would convert.
So you'd be okay if only if they converted.
Yeah, if they would convert later on, because they have to be a Christian.
Well, why do they have to be a Christian?
Because they have to follow the Bible,
this doesn't follow the Bible. You're not following the Bible, though, because the Bible doesn't discriminate against race. Jesus himself was Mediterranean. He was olive-skinned. He wasn't white.
But he wasn't black either.
But he wasn't white. You have Jesus probably wouldn't be able to get into your group. Besides, he was also Jewish. Was Jewish.
Right. But that's
he was a dark-skinned Jew.
But that's not a race. Being Jewish is not a race. It's a religion.
But you don't like dark-skinned people in your group, so Jesus could not get in.
No, because it's a white Christian organization.
It's funny. You have a Christian organization that Christ would be barred from.
No, we're trying to promote white race and be proud of it as an heritage, just like the black.
How big is your group, by the way, in Pennsylvania?
We're the fourth largest in the nation.
How many is that?
I'd say over thousands.
In your group?
Yes.
Over 1,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have a heck of a lot, and the membership is growing. I just can't believe how fast it's growing so fast.
Okay, William, thank you for talking to our audience tonight.
You take care.
All right. We'll be back at 877. Name it.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have wasted so much time on that. That just shows you how ignoramus these people are that jump up and all of a sudden they say, I'm the Grand Dragon of the Klan. He's wrong about the Imperial Wizard, too, because the Imperial Wizard was in the national office of the Klan, and the Grand Dragons were in the state. But anyhow, you cannot debate race and use Christianity in any way. I mean, I learned that after a stint with the Christian Identity. You can't, there's so many things you can't prove and they use against you that you cannot win any kind of debate or argument. Now, Alan Combs is an asshole, but I've been on his show and he's not a bad guy, but he's really nailing this poor guy to the wall. But anyhow, any of the points that Combs brought up against this Klansman, I could have turned around and reformulated against Combs on this Jewish question, all that kind of stuff. So the trouble is, of course, the progressives and to some extent the conservatives too, they go after the lowest common denominator, the dumbest guy on the block. And they know what they're doing, of course. We know that not every Klansman's as dense as this one. But these guys, now he was on Fox News, too, So that's supposed to be right wing. Now, even though he's one of the few progressives the Fox TV allows on. Don't worry, Fox TV and the conservatives are all into this, but they want they'll use the progressives as their battering ram against racial separatists. So anyhow, that's the insanity on all sides, and the baby Jesus is right in the middle again. And of course, they don't talk about all the hateful things Jesus allegedly said. I'll get them all on here one of these days. Okay, that's it for today. This is the 3rd of July, and tomorrow is the big day. Yeah. Independence Day? I don't think so. We've never been independent. You've always been dependent on the ruling class, and whatever they want to happen, happens.
Here's another slogan. Here's another slogan you run into all the time. God bless America. Once again, respectfully, I say to myself, what the fuck does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is that a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech, as if it were some sort of verbal tic that they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad Americans. Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying fuck about America, okay? He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Transylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen. Hey, there are 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think that God is sitting around picking out his favorites? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? And why would it be America out of all the countries? Because we have the most money? Because he likes our national anthem? Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic Rice-A-Roni. It's delusional thinking. It's delusional thinking. And Americans are not alone with these sort of delusions. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed, dead soldiers who were convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. Somebody's going to be disappointed. Somebody's wasting their fucking time. Could it be everyone? Now. If people want to say God bless America, that's their business. I don't care. But here's what I don't understand. If they say God bless America, presumably they believe in God. And if they do, they must have heard God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone and he loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teachings? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have got up on the top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done. And that's what these people should do. Or else they should admit that God bless America is really just some sort of an empty slogan with no real meaning except for something vague like, good luck. Good luck, America. You're on your own. Which is a little bit closer to the truth. Here's a civic custom that I don't understand. Maybe you can help me. Taking off your hat when a flag passes by, or when some jack-off at the ballpark starts singing the national anthem, they tell you to take off your hat. What the fuck does a hat have to do with being patriotic? What possible relationship exists between the uncovered head and a feeling that ought to live in your heart? Suppose you have a red, white, and blue hat. Suppose you have a hat made out of a flag. Why would you take it off to honor the flag? Wouldn't you leave it on and point it toward the flag? And what's so bad about hats that you have to take them off? Why not take off your pants? Or your shoes. They tell you at the airport, they say, take off your shoes. They tell you it's a national security, so taking off your shoes could be patriotic too. I started to question all this stupid hat shit when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I was a Catholic. At least until I reached the age of reason, okay? So, I was a Catholic for about two and a half years, something like that. And during that time, one of the things they told us was that if a boy or a man went into a church, he had to remove his hat in order to honor the presence of God. But they had already told me that God was everywhere. So I used to wonder, well, if God is everywhere, why would you even own a hat? Why not show your respect? Don't even buy a fucking hat. And just to confuse things further, they told the women exactly the opposite. Catholic women and girls had to cover their heads when they went into church. Same as in certain temples, Jewish men have to cover their heads in those temples. In those same temples, Jewish women not allowed to cover their heads. So try to figure this shit out. Catholic men and Jewish women, no hats. Catholic women and Jewish men, hats. Somebody's got the whole thing totally fucking backwards, don't you think? And, you know, and what is this religious fascination with headgear? Every religion's got a different fucking hat. Did you ever notice that? The Hindus have a turban, the Sikhs have a tall white turban, Jews have a yarmulke, the Muslims have the keffiyeh, the bishop has a pointy hat on one day and a round hat on another day, the cardinal has a red hat, pope has a... Why? Everybody's got a fucking hat. One group takes them off, the other group puts them on. Personally, I would never want to be a member of any group where you either have to wear a hat or you can't wear a hat. I think... I think all religions should have one rule and one rule only. Hats optional. That's all you need to run a really good religion.